Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in the prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, I'm asking that you help those listening to understand the Word of God, to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And Lord, help them to follow Jesus with all of their hearts. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Now, if you were listening last time, you know that we were studying in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. And we've basically gone through every verse in those three chapters. There's just a very little bit left. In chapter 16 of John, just the last few verses, it says in verse 29, "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" And the disciples had a constant struggle with faith, trying to understand the Word of God. They were trying to do so with the natural mind. And it's the Spirit's job to reveal things to the heart. Then he says in verse 32 and 33, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And obviously he's speaking of the crucifixion event, the passion of Christ. All of his disciples did leave, and Peter being one of them, which we just read just a bit ago, when Jesus was telling him of the event. And then he mentions the peace that he gives in the Spirit. And he says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer, Christian, you who are listening to me, because Jesus has overcome the world. They did crucify him. They thought they had him beat. But after 3 days he arose, and he's alive forevermore. That is our victory, the resurrection of Christ. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes, so the hymn says. Our sins were taken care of at the cross, the sin debt wiped away. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Our sins taken away. We're reconciled to God. We're justified before God, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done on the cross. And to top it off, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for what God has done. Thank God that He sent His Son, Jesus, to accomplish all of these things. And He has overcome the world. But He sent the promise of the Father, the Spirit, which we've studied probably these 3 months or so, to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us, to be with us every day, and to help us to gather in the harvest of lost souls. Now, if you've been listening for an extended period of time, you know that I have been teaching from the book of Exodus. And currently we're in Exodus chapter 17, where we find the battle between the spirit and the flesh. And if you've been listening, you know that we've taken, I guess, a detour talking about the spirit and the flesh. I've got an entire series. You can find the podcasts on my website. And again, if you don't know the web address, my name is Joey Kelly. You go to joeykelly.net. You'll find my picture there. You'll find that I'm a preacher of the gospel and also a computer technician. Incidentally, I said I'm a computer technician. If your computer is giving you trouble, or you perhaps having some virus problems or maybe problems at your office, you can call anyone. You can call anybody in the phone book, but please consider calling me if you would when you have computer trouble, and I'll thank you for that. But again, you'll go to my website, joeykelly.net. On the left, you'll find the things about my ministry. The first link you'll find is called the ministry homepage. And when you click on that, you'll find the red background. You'll find my picture again. The links at the bottom, one of them says radio. And if you click there, you'll find the podcasts, the MP3 files, what have you, of all of the programs that I played on this station. But as I said, I've been studying for an extended period of time about the Holy Spirit and about trying to do things in the flesh. We can do things by leaning on God, trusting Him for help, or we can do things in our own power, by our own understanding, by our committees, by our programs, what have you. We would do better to trust in the Lord rather than trust in our own abilities. But the last few weeks in my teaching, someone in chapter 15 of the book of John, and also again in chapter 16, we saw that God speaks again and again, and not only those chapters, but throughout the Word of God, about the need of surrendering the heart and allowing Him to do His work in our heart to purify us, to cleanse us, to change us. And we know that God's ways are higher than our ways. And God's ways are right, and many times our ways are wrong. Someone would say, well, brother, you know, this is the way we believe in our church. This is how we've always done it, what have you. Well, I believe every church can probably say that, but let me say that God's ways and the way God does things is right, and they work. And it is a difficult thing to surrender the things that we've been taught, to perhaps put aside our tradition, put aside the way that we think things should be, and to depend upon God. I'm not saying that anyone's tradition is bad or what have you, but I'm saying that God has a tradition, if you will, and we would do well to look to Him. But God's work in the heart is to show man where he's wrong, to show man where he's deficient, to show man perhaps his selfishness or his pride or arrogance or something. But in these two chapters, chapter 15 and 16 of the book of John, we see that God purges us. And matter of fact, the first verse or so of chapter 15, he says that if there's a tree that has fruit, that he purges that tree. He breaks off the dead branches, what have you, so that it would bring forth more fruit. But if there's a branch that doesn't bring forth fruit, then he breaks it off, cuts it off, what have you. So if you don't bear fruit, if you're a branch, he gets rid of you entirely. But if you do bear fruit, he still takes the saw or the clippers in an effort to have you be more productive, to bear more fruit. So even the good Christian, the one who pays his tithes, the one who's in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, the one who goes out for visitation, we would look at him and say, well, you know, he's a model Christian. The Holy Spirit still desires to prune him, to show him things in his life that is wrong, to take away some things maybe that he would like to do for himself, to show him, well, you know, you like to do this, you enjoy doing that, but I've got other things for you. If you bear fruit, God still has to purge. And we also mentioned suffering. Again, in chapter 15 and chapter 16 of the book of John, it mentions suffering. And suffering is a tool that God will use to bring about his purging. If you want to talk about progressive sanctification or what have you, whatever term you are familiar with and are comfortable with, that's fine. But God does the work in the heart to help us to lean on him and not on us. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Generally, when we read this, we think that this is a bad thing, that Satan's out to get Peter. Perhaps some of us are scared that Satan's out to get us. And perhaps that's the right thing to do, to be afraid. But look at what Satan is desiring. To sift you as wheat, he says. And we mentioned threshing. We mentioned winnowing. We mentioned this. I don't believe that Satan intended for God to help Peter. I believe that Satan intended to destroy him. And we know what happened. Later on in this chapter, Luke chapter 22, if you've forgotten our place. Jesus is taken. He's tried, what have you. And Peter follows the entire event. Jesus has taken one place, he's taken another place, Peter is following. But he finds himself in verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and they were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. These are the Roman soldiers, probably. These are the ones that had taken Christ and are going to crucify him. He's sitting warming himself at their fire. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And two other times, when questioned, he denies knowing the Lord. If you confess me before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father and before the angels. That is certainly true. We should confess the Lord before men. Peter denies him three times. I'm not so foolish as to think that Peter lost his salvation. But he did deny the Lord. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Well, we see that this part, certainly, Peter was set up, what have you. He was afraid for his life. But we read in the last couple of verses of John chapter 16, just a minute ago, that everyone would be scattered. Peter says, well, I'm going to go with you. I'm willing to die for you, at one point he said. But here is Peter. He's got his chance to stand up for Christ, and he too denies the Lord. And later on it says that he went and hid his face and cried. when he realized what he had done after the cock had crowed. But Jesus said that Satan had desired to have Peter, and we understand that part. But he says that he may sift you as wheat. I don't think it was Satan's desire, again, like I said, to help Peter. I believe that Satan was a pawn in God's hands to help Peter, to strengthen Peter, to sift Peter as wheat. I'm sure I've mentioned on this program, if you have wheat that you've harvested, you have to separate the grain from the husk. You have to get rid of the stalk and the what have you. And they would take the wheat and bind it together. And then they would beat it on a stone or against the ground or something to dislodge the kernels. And then they would further, after they had beaten the grain, they would take it and put it essentially in a bedsheet, and they would have several people holding the bedsheet, and they would throw it up in the air, and certainly you've seen this on some documentary or something. They would throw it into the air, and they would have a wind, perhaps a man-made blast of air or something, that would take the husk and the inedible part and blow it away. And when they were through threshing and winnowing, they had pure grain. This is painful if you're a grain of wheat. You're beaten against a rock or something. You're thrown into the air. You don't quite know what's happening to you. I don't think Peter quite understood what was happening to him. But the beating, the crushing, the things that God will do to us, and I said to us, whatever calamities we have, whatever misfortune we have, for instance, these economic times that we find ourselves in. Some of you, unfortunately, may lose your job or may have to take a cut in pay. You may lose your car that you've been trying to pay on for 3 years. You may lose your house. And I'm very sorry that that would happen to you. But I believe that God is willing to use that to help you, to bring you closer to Him. And I've testified on this program that God has used finances in my own life to draw me closer to Him. When I couldn't find a job, or when I couldn't hardly pay my rent or something, God has used these things in my life to bring me closer to Him. And if you're listening to me and you think I'm a fair preacher, or you think that perhaps I know the Word of God, or the Lord has helped you and encouraged you through listening to my program, I can testify that God has only been able to do so because of the hardship and the suffering that He led me through. I was self-willed. I was very self-willed. I had my own ideas. I had my own opinions, most of them negative. I had my own ideas, my own desires, my own ways. And God changed a lot of that. For instance, I didn't like black people. I was raised down in Houma. We're not raised to especially care about black people there. But November 30th, 1984, I got saved. I got saved. God changed me. And it didn't take Him very long to begin to work on my heart, to change me, to soften my heart. And today, if you've listened to this program, you know that I'm a missionary evangelist to the nation of Haiti. And Haiti's 99.who-knows-what-percent black. The only white people you see in Haiti are aid workers, missionaries, what have you. And I love those people. I care about those people. I have an affinity for those people. I would give a lot to help those people. And this from a man, when he was a teenager, what have you, that didn't much care for black folks. And again, that is a work that God has done in my heart. God changes the heart if we allow. Peter, he was changed. Now, Peter was a disciple. Peter was chosen specifically by God, but he was self-willed. But God changed him on the inside. And there was a conversion experience. Now, he was saved, and I don't believe that he lost his salvation. But he says, "And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." Perhaps you can look at other examples from the Old Testament. Look at the life of Jacob. Jacob, too, was self-willed. Now, he was the grandson of Abraham. He was in the lineage of Christ. But he was self-willed. He had his own desires. He was greedy. He was a cheater. If you remember the event with the cattle, that he cheated somehow. I don't understand exactly what he did, but he stole a bunch of cattle. But you remember that he wrestled with the angel all night. And God did something in his heart. He had a crisis event. And finally he admitted that his name was Jacob, the deceiver. And then God changed his name to be Israel, a prince with God. Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now we know that the stone was rolled away. I won't read every verse here. They found that Christ was risen. And they found the angel, the young man, sitting on the right side, it says in verse 5. In verse 6, and he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they have laid him." And verse 7, "But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter. Certainly we know that Peter felt terrible about denying the Lord 3 days before. He didn't really think that he fit in anymore. And the angel that Mary and Salome saw. This angel also put Peter on the side. Tell his disciples and Peter. I wonder how that made him feel when he heard that. But I believe that he wasn't second class. I don't believe that he was shut out. On the contrary, I believe that God was doing a special work in him. He wasn't singled out because he was somehow less of a disciple or perhaps lost his salvation or something. I believe he was singled out because of the wonderful thing that God was doing in his heart. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. the great power of God that fell on the day of Pentecost. Verse 13, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Hallelujah! Look at what God did with Peter. He was self-willed, always concerned about himself. We read throughout the Gospels that this is so. But God takes him and sifts him like wheat. I know it says Satan, but God orchestrated it. "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. And for a number of years, he was the leader of the apostles. He was the great evangelist. And he was, at least for a time, one of the chief apostles. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.